everyone hear me, please? Yes, okay. There are some wonderful themes in our readings for this morning, brothers and sisters. But we have chosen a theme that is really part of both the Old Testament reading, or the middle reading from Ecclesiastes, and John 19. And that theme is life. We have the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have the resurrection and the life, dear Lord and Master. And in the first section, it's rather unusual. It's not changed much. I was smiling a little when my brother was reading that chapter from Ecclesiastes. It's interesting, you see, that a man would inherit he would die and someone else would take that inheritance is very, very like, isn't it, today, that the people from the aristocracy, shall we say, with their very big houses, and there's some enormous houses in Yorkshire, I know. They have their life is all one of preparation and what have you to make sure that the person who inherits their palaces and their big houses will have to pay not so much in death duties, otherwise the place would be knocked down or closed down. So the inheritance goes to the next one. It's very interesting, isn't it, as we read those things. I said in my heart, come now, I will test you with mirth. Therefore enjoy pleasure, but surely it was vanity. I said of laughter, it's madness and mirth. What does it accomplish? In verse 4, I made my works great. I built myself houses. I made myself gardens. I made myself waterfalls. I acquired male and female servants. Verse 10, whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep them from them. I did not withhold my heart from pleasure, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor. And this was my reward from all my labor. I looked on all the works that my hands had done, on all the labor in which I had toiled, and indeed all was vanity, grasping for the wind. For there was no profit under the sun. And we could move on, couldn't we, with Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9. Live joyfully with the wife of whom you love all the days of your vain life, which he has given you under the sun, all the days of vanities, for that is your portion in life and in the labor which you perform under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. There's no works, no device, no knowledge, all wisdom in the grave where you are going. Life and death. And of course at the end we have that conclusion. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter of chapter 12. Well, this is the whole duty of man. Fear God and keep his commandments. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it is good or whether it is evil. Those verses. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. It just seems pointless, doesn't it? But of course, for the one who trusts in God and looks to God, that is the thing, isn't it? There's lots of things in a magazine this month that shows us how we must trust in God. Our brother, in his prayer this morning, he talked about those things, didn't he, my dear brothers and sisters? He talked about a pleasing God and looking after our brethren and sisters. Faithfulness, mercy and love. Those things of our hymns. Yes, faithfulness, mercy and love is God, and the provision of our dear Lord and Master to bring us to the kingdom and the hope of life everlasting. That's a big blessing for us, although we have possibly what Solomon didn't have, hope of that life, everlasting life of Christ. That's real motivation, isn't it, my dear brothers and sisters? Motivation to serve the living God. Well, life, of course, is a key theme of, that's Ecclesiastes, isn't it? But a key theme of John is the same theme, life, life. Jesus is the life. We have nearly 50 times in John this theme, this key theme of life. And some of them we could pick out. Jesus is the life. 14 verse 6. The life, the light of life, which is 8 verse 12. He is the bread of life, 6 verse 48. He gives the water of life. And he lays down his life that we might have life. 10 verse 14 to 18. Eternal life is the gift of God. And in our chapters, John, looking at it, Luke and John, some of the things concerning the crucifixion, but in that chapter of John, the following chapter actually, I just wanted to read, and that verse 29, these things are written. And Jesus said to Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen him, and yet have believed. We believe, my dear brethren and sisters, in these wonderful promises of God through the atonement, through the resurrection and the life, our Lord and Master. And truly did Jesus, verse 30, many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. So those are the key things that we are examining this morning, aren't they? That chapter we sometimes don't have the courage to read that chapter 19. The horror, these horrible men, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate, chapter 1, chapter 19, verse 1, and Pilate took Jesus, scourged him. The Romans didn't use scourges like the Jews did. They had lead tips on the scourge. Just imagine the torn back of Jesus. Soldiers twisted a crown of thorns and put it on his head. Then mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews. They struck him with their hands. Then Pilate went out again, and bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him. I find no fault in him. And that said three times. The next verse is verse 6, isn't it? You take him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. And then again, of course, he said that again, didn't he, in Exodus? Therefore, Pilate sought to release him, of course. Three times he said that. And then, of course, that problem that they had with what to do with the cross. The title that was put on it. Everything had to be an argument with these Jews, didn't it? Everything. Crucified. I find no fault in him. And therefore, we find, well, what other things are there for us, really? 18, chapter 18 is here before us. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king? Then Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for that cause I came into the world, that I might bear witness to the truth. And Pilate said, what is truth? What is truth? And there again, of course, is that I find no fault in him. Verse 38, I find no fault in him. What is truth? Well, we only have to turn back a page or so, don't we? And it tells us what truth is. And Jesus is here talking to them, and the world hated them because they were of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you keep them from evil. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify, set them apart, those who believe, by your truth. Your word is truth. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. So that is the thing of the theme of life, the truth. The truth in Jesus, the gospel message, the atonement, the cross. It's all there, isn't it? In these pages that we're looking at. Pilate's wife was set in the scriptures for us, didn't he? And in I think it's Matthew 27 in parallel records. Matthew 27, where we have the incident. Pilate's wife. Matthew 27. And we have these words, verse 19. Yes. Wives at that time, the governor weren't allowed, but there was communication with the judgment seat. And as he was sitting on the judgment seat, this is verse 19 of Matthew 27, his wife sent to him, sent a message, have nothing to do with that just man. For I have suffered many things today in a dream because of him. chief priests, and rulers persuaded the multitude that they should ask for Barabbas. Barabbas was one who caused insurrection and committed murder. The governor, they wanted to release Barabbas. He wanted to release Jesus to them. They said, "Which of the two do you want me to release, Jesus and they, or Barabbas?" And they said, "Barabbas." He said, "But what do I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" And they said, "Let him be crucified." That's the sort of people who were there, and Jesus was going to be crucified. All in the plan of God to bring us salvation, to bring us joy, to bring us to Christ, to bring us to the kingdom, and to bring us to that everlasting salvation which God has appointed to those that love him and those who are faithful to his promises. So people stood looking and sneering, didn't they? And Luke, yes, they certainly did. He saved others, let him save himself. He's the Christ, the chosen of God. But the soldiers mocked him and offered him sour wine, and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." An inscription was written in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew was it. In the three languages it was written. And of course the argument began again, didn't it? Many of the Jews read this title in the place Jesus was crucified near the city, written in Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. "Do not write," they said to Pilate, "the king of the Jews. But he said, 'I am the king.' What I have written, I have written." All this came about because God decided what would be written. And that is what was written, because God had decided. That centurion, when he died, really darkness, the problems of the cross there, and the centurion at the side of it, surely this was a righteous man. Yes, certainly was. Well, we know, brethren and sisters, that Christ died on the cross. It was finished. What was finished? What was finished? Well, as a young child in the temple, talking with them and asking them questions, and his mother worried to death, "Where is he? Where is he? Don't you know? Don't you know, Mama? Must be about my father's business." And that sponge with vinegar was put to his lips, I thirst. And then he died. It is finished. God's business was finished. So we have run through, we've looked at these things as we read them every year, look at them and look at the evil that was going on, and yet God was in control, on control of everything, even to the time when Jesus asked John to look after his mother. The time when and they were putting him on the cross, and he said, you know, that I really, really, you know, want you to look at these things. And brethren and sisters, we do know that those things that were there, that they were doing to put him on the cross, Jesus said, ask for their forgiveness, didn't he? He asked God for forgiveness. He thought about these people who were crucifying him. And he asked for forgiveness, for they know not what they do. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, we think about the breaking of bread, the darkness of the night that Judas crawled into to go to the high priest, the garden when he came up, I'm going to go and give him a kiss, and Jesus said, have you gone here to betray the Son of Man with a kiss? Better if that man had been born. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, let us now break bread and drink wine in obedience to our Lord and Master. Let us try to do our very best to preach the word of life, to care for one another, to think about brethren and sisters who are not well, and support them where we can. The Meal a Day Fund, the Bible Mission, the things our brother mentioned in his prayer, the floods and the problems all over the world of hurricanes and problems of no food, and we can provide that through the Meal a Day Fund, can't we, and do our very best. And we can do sorts of things, picking up this month's magazine to help us pray for these things. Our brothers have decided to have this little dwell journal that we can send for. It's on the back page of this month's Christopher Guilford. The dwell journal is designed to help you get into a daily habit of spending time with God. In quiet moments, it helps with Bible reading, with prayer, with daily goals and gratitude, all to help us draw closer to our God. And that's something we can buy, and that helps us sit down and have a quiet time in contemplation of what has been done for us. May, my dear brothers and sisters, may we find grace in that time when our Lord and Master comes. May we think of that time when the angel will come. The Lord is here and calleth for thee. May we be called away to see the joy of our Master and inherit the kingdom which has been prepared for us with all our dear brothers and sisters of old and the worthies, to see those people who worked and worked and worked for the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us today in our work. May we inherit that glory which has been promised us. Amen.
Well, thank you, brother.